So we came, we checked out a couple churches, we came to Cedar Springs, and yeah, I was in a different building, but we just felt at home from day one. And so we ended up getting married. Chris Brandon actually married us. And it was pretty amazing because since I get the mic, I get to share something out. So we were looking at wedding pictures of 14 years ago. We've been married 14 years ago in October. And it's amazing what 14 years and toddlers can do to a guy. I was a lot skinnier then. I looked more muscular. People often wonder why Becky married me. If you looked at my pictures back then, maybe. And Chris Brandon was like jet black hair, so it's pretty amazing. So I'm going to share, I think it's important that you guys see where I'm coming from. I'm going to share my testimony, try to get it in short. When I was raised, my mom and dad were amazing parents. My mom was like the most selfless person, and she's here, so I'm trying not to embarrass her, but she's the most selfless person I know. She would put everybody else before herself. And when I was about 16 years old, it was my sophomore year in high school. I went to Bethel High School. Anybody else go to Bethel High School here? Like three of us? Yeah, all right. And I didn't have a car because they wouldn't let me drive, and I don't blame them. And so thankfully, though, there was a bus that would take me to school. And through this process, I go the first day of school, had this CD Walkman. And if anybody knows what CD Walkmans are, that's pretty cool. That means you're old. This one had an anti-shock one, so you can like hit on it and the CDs didn't skip. So I felt pretty cool going up to the bus stop, listening to my alternative rock music. And it had nothing to do with Jesus, but that's okay. And so I meet some friends there. And let's meet this girl named Kim. And her parents actually were in charge of the Women's Teen Challenge in Graham. So let's fast forward, all right? So this is September, and now it's April. So I'm living my life, sophomore year in high school, in class, and this girl, Heidi, comes in. She goes, and she's, I don't know why she even came in, but she just came in. She sat down at our cluster of tables and said, "Hey, Joe, this girl, she thinks you're hot." I'm like, can you say hot in church? Is that kind of weird? But, and I'm like, me? Yeah, right. And my buddy Brent goes, "Well, who is it?" And she shares. He goes, "No way. She goes to my church." I'm like, "What? You go to church?" I would have never known, and I've known him since eighth grade, that he went to church. And so I'm like, I don't want to go to your church. Like, that's kind of weird. But he's like, "Oh, well, we have it tonight. And she's there." So I'm like, "Sweet, I'll go to church to meet this girl." So anyway, God got me in the doors to meet a girl. And I wish it could be even more romantic and say it was Becky, but it wasn't. So anyway. She's going to kill me later. She just did take out a life insurance policy on me. So anyway, with all that being said, so I go to this church, and a couple weeks in, the Lord reveals himself to me. And hallelujah. So this is where the story ends, though, for this testimony, is I go back to the bus stop, and Kim, she actually went to the church. She said, "Hey, what happened last night?" And I said, "Oh, you know, I went to church, you know, they're singing all this music. I didn't really still understand what was going on." I go, "But the guy, he preached about salvation, and I gave my life to the Lord." And she goes, "What?" "Oh, yeah, I'll try not to cry." She said, "You did what?" And I told her, and she just broke down in tears. And she said, and this is like the most impactful thing, she said, "The day I met you, the first day of school, I went home, and I told my parents, I want to pray for salvation for him." And so, as we dive into the Word, let's pray. And as we dive into the Word, just remember, when we're praying, we may not see that answer right away. It took from September to April to see salvation in my life, but they didn't give up. So hallelujah. Well, that's why I'm here today, because of prayer and because Jesus loves us, right? So thank you, Father. Thank you for your glorious Word. Thank you for your works, Lord, that you're doing in our lives. Help us today, Lord. Help me to explain your message clearly. Help us to retain what's going to be said. And we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about discipleship over the last several weeks. And I think this is important for us, that discipleship in the lifestyle of a disciple is different from that of cultural Christianity. It's different than how we would just live our lives normally as Christians, that we would go to the marketplace or go to work and just live and say, yeah, I'm a son or daughter of the King. But a disciple is more than that. A disciple is about making more disciples. He's about understanding that his daily activities represent Jesus, not just himself. So for us, we also want to, as disciples, want to live this redeemed lifestyle. We want to live knowing that Jesus has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, right? Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, right, because I like people say amen, hallelujah, and don't tell me what time it is, okay, because I'll keep talking. All right, so our lives, if we are following Jesus, our lives should look polar opposite than the world, all right? So let's dive into the Great Commission here. I pulled up both scriptures. I'm going to read them real quick, all right? Mark 16, 14 through 20. And afterward, it's Jesus. He appeared to the 11 as themselves as they were reclining at a table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And after he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So one more great commission in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but even some doubted. And when Jesus came and said to them, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. So I like in Acts 1, are we following this? Is this good? Okay. I like in Acts 1 where Luke writes, he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit and how the apostles came and they waited because Jesus said, I'm going to send somebody, wait in Jerusalem. So they came and they waited and they prayed and the Holy Spirit came and moved. And it says, and while they were staying with him, And while they were staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, Jesus said, but to wait for the promise. So they waited. And in Acts 2, I love that God orchestrated this. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, all nations were represented there. All these nations were there and the Holy Spirit came. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak in new tongues. We've been learning about that. People have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God is moving here. Yeah? But all nations were represented there. So what it's showing us is that Jesus cares about all people. Not just Americans, not just the Israelites, not just the Russians, but all people groups. All right? Hallelujah. All right. So we've talked about, throughout all these sermons, we've talked about what a disciple looks like when he prays, when he worships, when he serves, a disciple seeking the God and seeking the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we're going to start off at here. So a biblically normal disciple loves God and loves people. Yeah? Okay. So John 13, 35 through 36 says, a new commandment I give you, that you would love one another just as I have loved you, and you are also to love one another. For this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What he's saying also, he's not saying is that if you have love just for your Christian brother or your Christian sister or your pastor or whoever, but if you have in the church, if you have love for all, right? It's very easy to love somebody, just like in Mark 12, 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, and asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, and the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no greater commandment greater than these. Hallelujah. That's easy for us to really just take home today. And I know we've heard this, but there is no greater commandment than to love God and love people. All right. So, in this, then he also asks, there's a faith that we have to have. He's asking us as disciples to go. He's not asking us just to sit here in our church and drink our coffee from Brood Awakenings or, you know, I get chastised, but drink your Starbucks, your water, whatever, and hang out. He's asking us to go out of this building and bring more people in. Bring more people into his kingdom. Bring more people into the fold. And so, but we have to recognize that there is a cost. We have to recognize that it's going to cost us something. So in Luke 9, 57 through 62, let's preface this. I just think it's very important that we just read scripture, because if I read scripture, I can't screw it up. Hallelujah. All right. So, and as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To the other, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. Well, that sounds pretty brutal to me. Like, I think I'd want to go bury my family member or friend, but he's saying, no, just let them bury their own. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Those are pretty harsh, right? He's saying that he wants us dedicated. He wants us committed. He wants us to really lay down everything, whether it's our schedule, whether it's our work projects, or whatever is really pulling this tension, pulling us away from him. He wants us to lay that down to fulfill his mission. He wants us to lay that down to say, what are you asking me to do? So Luke 10, 1-3 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him. And two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, and behold, I am sending you out as lambs amidst the wolves. And none of us really like to hear that. I know in my life, like, yeah, I'm excited, I want to go. But as soon as I think about stepping out and somebody's going to be like beating me up verbally in America, you're probably not going to get really beaten up. But if you think about it globally, there are a lot of people that put themselves out there for Jesus and they recognize the cost. But the cost is so high. The cost is this person's salvation. The cost is this person's life. And we should be joyful in that and like knowing, hey, yeah, let's put ourselves out there. So he says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I know in church we talk about a lot that, hey, 80% of the work in the church gets done by 20% of the people. And we're just talking about in church. What about out there? So I'm not very good at math, so I think if 100% of the people did 100% of the work, we could get a lot of things done. A lot of things. So we need to understand, to follow Jesus, that it will cost us everything, but it's worth it. And so if Roberta's here, if she can come up, she's going to share a short. There she is. Everybody give her a hand. David, can you grab the mic?
Hi, I'm Roberta, and I'm practicing surrender, and look where God put me today. Last year, I was taking my son to the respiratory clinic at the Lakewood VA. I noticed they were remodeling the area, and I call this a chair story. As we waited, I started talking to a 30-something young man. We chatted about the weather. Then my son went off to his appointment. I then noticed they were taking the chairs out of the room. There was an older gentleman sitting directly in front of me with his back to me. He was in a wheelchair. His grandson was the young man I was talking to. He had brought grandpa to his VA appointment. Soon, all the chairs around me were gone, and they came for mine. I had to move. So I ended up sitting right next to grandpa. He felt comfortable talking to me, and he opened up about how his body was riddled with cancer. He didn't have long to live. I felt the Lord urge me to ask if he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said his wife was a believer and she had passed away. Suddenly, the grandson said he went to church every Sunday. So I looked right at him and said, "You are taking care of Grandpa's physical needs, but at this time, he needs help with his spiritual needs." As they came to take Grandpa to his appointment, the grandson said he would take Grandpa to church. You never know when the opportunity will come to you to share your faith. Be bold, be kind, and be honest to let Jesus join the conversation. You might not get that opportunity again.
Thanks, Roberta. I like that. We need to be honest. We need to be bold. We also need to have this heart of no fear, this heart of reckless abandonment for the gospel. And in our community group, we've been diving into the book of Acts. And as you're reading these stories of how these apostles and these disciples are moving, even starting the beginning of the church, and every time that something would be going, the enemy would be pushing back. But Paul didn't run in fear. There's several times that we read, and one of my favorite things, we were just talking about this a couple weeks ago, is that he's chained up in prison, and he's singing worship songs to the Lord, which shows that he's not afraid. It shows that he's not in fear, but he's just excited that he's, he's being punished for the gospel, right? He's excited that he is glorifying the Father. All right, so the next point is the disciple lives in a way that pleases God and not the culture. So these verses are very hard for me to even take to heart. They're very difficult for all of us. So in John 15:9, it says, "If you are of the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." John 17:14-16, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world. And even as I am not of the world, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them for the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So we see this idea that once we become Christ followers, once we become born-again Christians, that we are no longer, one, a slave to sin. Hallelujah. We are a slave to righteousness. We're no longer getting ready to go to hell. But Jesus has pulled us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. So I don't understand for me myself why it's so difficult to tell other people about that. And I understand why. It's because there's a tension. And Jesus even understood that. There's a tension that we would be experiencing as Christians in an ideological and hostile environment. And the authors of the New Testament also encouraged us to continue our relationships with the world around us, but be careful that we would please the Lord and not people. How many of us like to have people want to hang out with us? How many of us would rather just have an easy work life? And easy for the high schoolers and junior hires in here. How many of us would rather just be able to wear the cool shoes and jeans and show up and play sports and whatever and have really zero ridicule other than just being a junior hire or a high schooler, right? And so this example, I think I have some time, hallelujah. Okay, so I was hoping I'd get to share this. So other people have mentioned this, but when my senior year in high school, I went to this youth conference, and it was all about telling people about Jesus. It was all about, hey, You are the light of the world, that we are the salt of the earth. And I know for myself and some of us, we might feel like today we've lost some saltiness. I know I had some mashed potatoes the other day, and they needed some salt. So, all right, we need to be flavorful. We need to bring some flavor to the world. Okay, so my senior year in high school, I went to this conference, and they were talking about being a campus missionary, whatever, starting a Bible study type deal. So I was like, well, that sounds cool. And so I read my rights, and I went to the principal, and I said, hey, I want to start a Bible study here at Bethel High School. And he's like, no, you can't do that, because if you do that, then we'll have all these other groups that form. Because I like the group idea, but we can't do that because I don't want to have to put out other fires. And so me and my, I was blessed with some negotiation skills, even in high school. I said, well, sorry to put it to you bluntly, but I actually have a right as a student to do something after school. And this is more beneficial than any other thing going on right now. And so we had a Bible study. We had even people that are in this building today represented, actually came and partook in the Bible study. And what I say was successful, yeah, because people came and gathered and learned about Jesus. And that we were able to put ourselves out there. I mean, if you want to know about ridicule, I had a guy take my Bible and chuck it down the hallway, call me names. I'm not the first one. I won't be the last one. But if I do, it says John, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the Father is not in him. 1 Corinthians 5:9-10 says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people, but I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or swindlers or idolaters, for then you would have to go out of this world. So what he's saying is, he's not saying don't hang out. Jesus hung out. He went to parties. He hung out with the sinners. He hung out with the unloved. And yet, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these guys, like, what are you doing? These people are unclean. How many of us are unclean? How many of us have been unclean? Yeah? Jesus is hanging out with us. Jesus says, hey, I want to partake. I want you to partake in my kingdom. And so we can't be like that. We can't be those people like, ah, well, that person's kind of gross, or this person watches that movie or listens to that type of music or whatever. But we want to be people that are like, I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. I want to invite you into my home, maybe even over for some coffee, right? We want to be in fellowship and relationship. That's why I love community groups so much, is that we as a church can come together and share life together and talk about the word, but there's even food there. And I love food. Just recently, I was encouraging my son to talk about somebody who was pregnant. Say, hey, this, check it out, she's pregnant. She said, your daddy's pregnant also. So, and my dad or my son was super confused. So if he has any issues in life, I'll blame it on her. All right. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And we're even, as a church, Chris just talked about this, we have these barrels out there that we can load up with food, with toys, and we can get jackets, and we can make these boxes for really the poorest of the poorest. And I know many of us have even gone out and delivered these food boxes or these coats or whatever, and you get there and you're like, how in the world in America, how in the world in this neighborhood can somebody live this way? And most of the time it's not by decision, it's by sickness, or maybe they had some financial decisions that they did make. But a lot of times it just happens. And a lot of times I know we would be, for me, I'm like, well, maybe they should have saved money. Maybe they should have prepared more. Maybe they should be like the worker ants and store everything up for winter. But no, just sometimes in life, circumstances happen that are out of our control, and we wind up in those situations. So let us, as a church, let us as a people be excited about proclaiming the good news to people in these circumstances. I think we can all relate, even being in our workplace, and somebody's talking about life, and you just want to ignore what they're talking about because you don't want to even, you're afraid to even that the Holy Spirit might reveal that I want you to share life with this person. I know in my own life I've done that. I've done them both. So all of these verses remind me, it should remind us, of the urgency we need to have with the people and our neighbors that we're in contact with daily. These verses shouldn't motivate, these verses should motivate, not shouldn't, that'd be a bad idea, to get close with Jesus and live in a way that will glorify him. All of these things we're talking about today has nothing to do with glorifying us, but everything we're doing to glorify him. Everything we're doing about championing and encouraging and being excited when somebody comes to know the Lord. And me and Tom, we just got to pray with somebody a couple months ago about knowing the Lord. And it's the most amazing thing that you can ever do in your life. And just hear the cheers of heaven surrounding that person is amazing. All right, I'm going to get some water here. Everybody doing good? Okay. All right, so Luke 9:23-27. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. For whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Does that seem countercultural to us? That seems pretty difficult for us to, if I lose my life, That doesn't really, sometimes even being in the church for so long, it's like, man, that's so brutal. He wants our heart. So what does it profit a man if he gains the entire world but forfeits himself? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, and of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. That's pretty amazing. So as we're going to move forward here, as we're going through this process, what I'm sharing, I pray that our hearts are really saying, you're not condemned. We're not condemned for being excited about the gospel, but let's realign ourselves with what Jesus is asking us to do. All right, so this is where we're hitting home. 2 Corinthians 5:14-21. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. In the NIV, I like what the NIV says. For the love of Christ compels us, because we have concluded this, that one who has died for all, meaning Jesus, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are a new creation. And the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. everything we're talking about is that he has given us the message of reconciliation. The message of saying, hey, we can reconcile everything that we've known and have that. And we can be reconciled back to Jesus, right? So we can share that. We can be excited about that. So, and like Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, for which I am an ambassador. We are ambassadors of Christ. Paul, when he's saying this, he's in chains. That I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. He's in chains and he says, I am an ambassador of Christ. He could have easily done the opposite and said, oh no, I don't believe in Jesus. And can you let me out so I can go live my life, so I can go live my comfortable life, sitting by the seaside of Galilee, drinking whatever he wants to drink. I don't know what they drank back there, and maybe some grape juice or prune juice or whatever. Hallelujah, right? And here we are in church, and we're not even chained to anything other than we're chained to our fears. We're chained to our own personal motivations, our own gains. We're chained to wanting to fit in. We're chained to wanting to just be like everybody else. So I know if I could be just like LeBron James in sports, that'd be pretty amazing. I'm very short and have zero basketball skills. But if we could fit in, right? If we could fit in with that crowd, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Jesus isn't asking us to fit in. So if we're wondering that we're saved by grace, there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation, right? There's nothing that we can add to what Jesus has already done. But because of what he's done, we should be going. We should be moving in faith. And so Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. Not that he's prepared all these things, so let's sit in our chairs, let's sit on our couch, let's go home and watch the football game and forget about what Joe said. No. He prepared good works for us to do. He's prepared us to provide finances to the kingdom. He's prepared us to make boxes for people that have no food, make food boxes. And he's also prepared us to hear week in and week out somebody up here telling us, hey, let's go. Hey, this is what God's done for us. Hey, we have the message of reconciliation. Yeah? All right. So Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As disciples of Christ, we need to live a life that's worthy of the calling of Jesus. We need to go and make disciples that make disciples. So can we align our thoughts? Can we align our passions? Can we align our prayers? Can we align our schedules? Is this too hard for us to think about all this? Can we align everything that we know and start aligning it up with what Jesus is asking us to do? And when we do that, when we start looking at our schedule, I know I look at my calendar and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe my calendar is so busy. Where am I going to fit time in for church? I know that's what some of us are thinking. Where am I going to fit time in for community group? Where am I going to fit time in sharing my faith with others? If we just live our life. I tried to get Nicole to sing the song today, but she couldn't. So there's a song. It's all right. Sorry, Nicole. It's a Hillsong United song, and the verses are like, this life, they're singing to God. This life is yours. And now I can't remember the words, but it says, tear down these walls. Just tear down these walls. So that all creation can come back to you. Tear down these walls of fear and of pride. Tear down these walls that we can do it on our own. I just want to fit in. Sorry, I thought the clock stopped. I was like, yes. Okay. All right. So we've talked about leftovers today. And I'm not a very big fan of leftovers, although we just had Friendsgiving, the leftovers are pretty good. But most of the time, they're just stale, and they're kind of congealed. You have to heat them up in their microwave. And they're just not as good as the real thing. right? You like that, Tom? So Jesus, he wants us to be, I know you guys are hungry now. Jesus wants us to be on fire for him. And Revelations 3, 15 through 16 is a very telling scripture for us. And Jesus says, I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot, but I would rather that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And he's talking to the church of Laodicea. But what he's saying to us is that I don't want your leftovers. I don't want you to go pop yourself in a microwave and click it off in 30 seconds, say, I'm done. I'm ready to go. He says, I want you to be in prayer. I want you to worship me with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. And I want you to go and proclaim the gospel. Hallelujah. Okay. I just hit home with what Roberta said, that she was living in fear. And that she even says that I no longer need to live in fear, but I just need to say yes to Jesus. I just need to say yes to what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. Can we relate with that? Can we say that we've been in our workplaces, we've been on the bus, we've been walking down the street, and that the Holy Spirit said something to us? I want you to talk to that person. And we're like, oh, cool, thanks. Have a nice day. And you get home and you're like, man, I really wish I would have done that. Because we're afraid of what the outcome could be. We shouldn't be. We should be excited about what Jesus can do. All right, so Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is pretty brutal. All right, so discipleship means adherence to Christ. And because Christ is the object of that adherence, it must take the form of discipleship. An abstract Christology, a doctrinal system, a general religious knowledge on the subject of grace or on the forgiveness of sins, render discipleship superfluous. Superfluous. My wife kept trying to get me to say that word properly, but that's all right. And in fact, the positively exclude any idea of discipleship whatever, and are essentially inimical or detached to the whole conception of following Christ. With an abstract idea, it is possible to enter into a relation of formal knowledge and to become enthusiastic about it, and perhaps even to put it into practice, but it can never be followed in personal obedience. Because Christianity without the living Christ is inevitably Christianity without discipleship. And Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. So what he's saying here is we can't have one without the other. We can be Christians by religion. We be Christians by saying, hey, yeah, that's how we identify ourselves. What he was saying is Jesus said that go and make disciples of all nations. So that we need to replicate, not us, not little Joes or little Frankies, but Jesus, right? And St. Augustine, give me a man in love. He knows what I mean. Give me one who yearns. Give me one who is hungry. And give me one far away in the desert who is thirsty and sighs for the spring of eternal country. Give me that sort of man. He knows what I mean. But if I speak to a cold man, he just doesn't know what I'm talking about. And you are surprised that the world is losing its grip, that the world has grown old. Don't hold on to the old man, the world. Don't refuse to regain your youth in Christ. Who says to you, the world is passing away, the world is losing its grip, and the world is short of breath? Don't fear, for thy youth shall be renewed as an eagle. Hallelujah. All right. So we just need to have a faith in Jesus that embraces this idea of discipleship. A faith that what Jesus says is to go, all right? I'm all about that. I'm all about let's get off our couch and go. Let's not go out to the restaurants today without being excited for Jesus, right? I know for me, I can go to the restaurant, sit at the table, and be like, man, this food, what the heck, man? It's taking forever, right? How many of us like to complain? Because I know I do. So, all right. one more story, and then I have this awesome acronym. We were in St. Louis a couple years ago, and we're riding on the tram or a train, whatever you want to call it, and we're going to downtown St. Louis. And on the tram, there was several leaders, and we're just enjoying life together. And there's this lady, and she took a phone call, and she found out. Found out that a family member passed away. And we're all kind of listening to it. And there's this couple that I admire, and they were listening. They were like right next there with them, right next to him, right next to her, I should say. And they were listening to her entire conversation. And instead of being like, oh, okay, the Holy Spirit impressed on their hearts to pray for her. Not only just pray for her, but they even gave some money to help her to go see her family that was in another state. And that is just so telling of saying, hey, I want to be a light into the world. And it could have been very easy for all of us. And I know, I mean, I wasn't even involved in that conversation. It could have been very easy for that couple to just sit there and enjoy the ride together and not even say one word. But they put themselves out there because of what the Holy Spirit was saying. Isn't that amazing? And this lady was blessed. And not only were they blessed, but everybody around there were blessed to see the love of God proclaimed there. So I want to end in this. Something practical for us to take home today. It's Dave Ferguson. He's a pastor in Chicago. And he is a friend of Confluence USA. And so he has several churches in Chicago. But he has this awesome acronym that will help us to take home today. So if you got your pen and paper or whatever, you want to take a picture of it when it's all up there, however you want to do it, I want to encourage you to write this down. These are five ways to bless your neighbor. And also five ways that can hold us accountable to our neighbor. All right? So let's start. So the first letter is B. And B means begin with prayer and worship. So when we're thinking about witnessing, or we're thinking about going, we're thinking about doing, whatever we do, let's start the day with prayer and worship. Let's start the day with saying, Lord, what would you have for me today? Holy Spirit, come and stir up my heart. Come and stir up my motivations. Come and stir up my ideas. Nicole, can you come up and play? And then we're going to go on with L. And the L is for listen. It says, don't talk. But listen to people. How many of us were in conversation? I know I am. And I'm like, hey, how are you doing? How's life? What are you going through? And they start talking, but in my mind, I'm thinking, what's the next question? Or how can I fix their problem? We should just listen and hear where people are coming from. Listen and hear their heart and what they're struggling with, or hear their heart and what they're excited about. And E, the next letter is E, and it's my favorite. Eat. I didn't have breakfast this morning, so I'm very hungry. Have a meal with someone, or have coffee with people in your neighborhood, with your coworkers, or maybe even some difficult family members, or fill in the blank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Share a meal with somebody that you don't really know very well, and just break bread together. We do that in our community group every week, and I tell you what, when you break bread, it just tears down this wall of this wall of hostility. Like, how am I going to relate to this person? Because people just enjoy food and start hanging out. The next one is S for serve. If you listen to people and you eat with people, they will tell you how you should love them. They will tell you what they need. They will tell you how you can be involved in their life. Is that good? All right, and the final one, story. S for story. How many of us like to share a story? That's our, Wendy's like, yeah, I like to share my story. That's our opportunity as we go through this process, is that we get to share our story, what Jesus has done in our lives. We get to share our story of the message of reconciliation. We get to share our story of like, wow, I was once as far as the east is from the west, away from God. And yet he called me out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So if we could take those home today, I have a couple questions. The clock started over. That's okay. I don't want you to answer these. I want you to think about these. As an individual, where do you see yourself in following the commands of Jesus? And what challenges you in that? And what challenges you in about all the testimonies that you've heard today and all the preaches? Because there's like three way better preaches before I got up here today. What challenges you? What is God saying to you right now? And all of these things are to not, being talked about today, are not, like I said, to make us leave here today going, man, I'm just a horrible person. I haven't told one person about Jesus in 3 weeks. I haven't even shared that I'm a Christian. How many of us, I could relate to my friend Brent, who I would have never even known that he was a Christian. Never. And then my friend Kim, who said, I'm going to pray for that man. So if that's us today, if that's us that we're like, I just want to be prayed for. I just want to be encouraged in God. I just want to be encouraged. I want to be emboldened with the Holy Spirit. I want to be a light in this dark world. I want to be the salt of the earth, the city on the hill. Yeah? If some of us, we're just going to pray. If we could just pray, I'm going to pray for you. And if there's anybody going through that, and would like to come up for prayer afterward, if there's anybody that's, I just want to have that desire. I just want to be in prayer for people. I just want to be in worship for the Lord. I want to be in community and not just hanging out, but I want to be bringing people in to the community of Christ. Hallelujah. If that's you afterwards, you can come up and we'll pray for you. All right? We thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that what was spoken today, it's your heart. It's who you are. It says that you love us. You've loved us even before we were born. And that you know every hair on our head. And that you desire that all would come to know you. But it's not just, it's us, Lord. I pray that you would give us the strength and the burden and the excitement of what you've done in our lives. And how can we hold that back, Father? I pray that you would challenge us, that you would convict us as Christians, that we would be disciples that make disciples that make disciples. That we'd be men and women on fire for you, for your kingdom. That we wouldn't be about building up our own kingdom, but about your kingdom. And I just pray, Father, that as we leave today, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would really change our perspective of what it looks like to be someone sold out for you. Even in my own life, Lord, that conviction would come. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next. One place.
All right. I think that's it, right? Can we be encouraged? Are we excited? Yeah? Are we excited? I don't want us to